On the show today, we have Messick, Lauer & Smith, Guy Messick, and Callahan & Associates Jay Johnson talking about their new white paper called Do QSOs Really Make a Difference? Check it out. Hey everybody, Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. Welcome to our show. And on today's program, we have Mr. Guy Messick from Messick, Lauer & Smith. Guy, how are you?
Doing well, Michael.
Good, good to hear. And then we have Mr. Jay Johnson from Callahan & Associates. Jay, how are things in D.C.?
We're hoping to get some warmer weather, but we're all inside anyway, so it is what it is.
It is what it is, for sure. I think we're all in that is what it is boat, for sure, the past 6 weeks or so. Hey, you guys have put out a white paper called Do QSOs Really Make a Difference? And I can't wait to hear this one, because I'm really missing the NACUSO conference, because that's kind of like my entrepreneur arm each year, because there's such an entrepreneurial spirit about that conference. So I'm really missing that conference this year, for sure, as we all are. But this might give us a little appetite, a little appetite for what we're looking for QSOs out there. So Guy, I'm going to let you go first on this one. So can you give us a quick overview of this white paper? Do QSOs Really Make a Difference? I can't wait to hear what we have in store for us on this one.
Well, let me start out with an analogy. What I was trying to do is sort of like the decision when you have whether you want to go to the gym or not. Now, everyone knows going to the gym is a good idea, but is it really worth it? Because, you know, it takes a lot to get up in the morning and go to the gym. And so the question is, what real difference does a QSO make to a Crayon's performance? And there are very few Crayons have gone through the trouble of making that analysis. One of them is Open Technology Solutions in S3, which is the QSO owned by state employees, Belco and Bethpage. And they've determined over the years that they're saving tens of millions of dollars in operational costs.
Wow.
But how does that relate? How can a smaller Crayon relate to that? Mm-hmm. So Jay and I have been scratching our heads for a number of years, trying to figure out what metric of measurement in the industry is something that could answer the question, are QSOs really worth it? So we start out with the concept of where do we measure the QSO side of it, as opposed to the control side of Crayons not using QSOs. So my only choice in the matter was CU Answers, the QSO out of Michigan, mm-hmm. which has been around since 1970, core IT provider. I want you to give a little background, because I want you to know what the group is, why we think that that's a good group to compare QSOs. So it's a cooperative corporation. There are 136 credit union owners serving 183 credit unions. They have a subsidiary called Extend, which is owned by CU Answers and 80 credit unions, and it provides a lot of stuff like bookkeeping, mortgage loan support, disaster recovery, business continuity, strategic planning, call centers, shared branching, forms exchange, texting communications, core communications, call report preparation.
Goodness.
In other words, the whole panoply of what a credit union may need. And mm-hmm. and while they do serve billion-dollar plus credit unions, they're typically their credit unions they serve are mid to smaller size credit unions. Mm-hmm. And the way they do this with regard to the economics of it is that, being a Michigan cooperative, they pay a stock dividend every year between 4% and 8%. They've never missed that. There is a patronage dividend, which is proportionate to the amount of services that the credit union gets from the QSO. And if they have a special project, they don't do a capital raise. What they do is a debenture, which is usually oversubscribed and above market. So it's a way to get capital quickly, and also to reward the credit unions that provide that capital. So that is the group that we thought would be a great way to demonstrate whether the answer to the question. So I asked Jay, and Jay can tell you in a minute what they did at Callahan, because of course they're the data kings of the Crayon industry and so valuable to the Crayon industry. But we made four cohorts out of this, and that is Crayons between 50 and 150 million in assets was the first peer group. Mm-hmm. And so within that asset class, the CU Answers credit unions were about 52 per year in that group. And credit unions in the control group were 460 credit unions. Then we did a second cohort of 1 million to 130 million in assets. And that was a comparison of 10 credit unions in the CU Answers group and 84 credit unions in the other group, in the non-CUSO using group. Now, how do we determine whether a group uses CUSOs? Well, there's no data on that, but there is data on whether or not a credit union owns a CUSO, has a CUSO ownership. And so what we did was we took those credit unions that did not have any CUSO ownership, which they may or may not be a customer of a CUSO here and there, but I think it's fair to conclude that control group does not use CUSOs any near extensively as CU Answers groups. Okay,
right.
So that's the sort of the setup for the study.
Okay.
Two peer size groups compared to performance over, what is it, Jay, 8 year period since 2000?
About a seven year period, yeah.
Okay, well, that I just wanted to set that up so okay. We understand what we're talking about when we compare.
And so what sparked this idea to produce a paper like, because I've always kind of had that thought in the back of my head as well. Okay, so what's the value? I mean, I'm, on the surface, I can see the value of it, but when you kind of dig a little bit deeper into the data and things like that, you know, I'm really glad that you guys did this paper because it really exemplifies what CUSOs mean to this industry and what they mean to credit unions and just the total advantages that they have. So was that kind of the impetus for the white paper? Jay, I'll let you go with this one. Is that kind of what started the whole thing and got the ball rolling?
Well, yeah, you know, I think, like I said, it's kind of the eternal question. There's a lot of different ways that CUSOs can impact credit unions, obviously. Sometimes it's member-facing and the ability to provide more services or broader range, whether
right.
it's business lending CUSOs, mortgage lending CUSOs, indirect lending, et cetera. Sometimes you've got efficiencies on the back end, which would be, as Guy said earlier, someone like an Open Technology Solutions or a S3, a shared service solutions, where it's focused a lot on the efficiency gains mm-hmm. that you have as well. So we think there are different ways that CUSOs can impact credit unions. And so what we want to do is kind of look at a range of metrics. And as Guy described, with CU Answers is a good group because really they hit on both sides of that. You know, much of their capabilities provide member-facing impact, the ability to engage members further. But they've also got some services they provide that help with efficiency, taking some of the back office yep. operations out of there too. So it really is saying, okay, if we look across a range of metrics, what are some ways that we might, are there indications that CUSO participation moves the needle on some of these? Mm-hmm. That's really what it was about.
Are you referring to the 11 charts that are within the white paper as well, the 11 sections, I guess, or?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And if you look at those categories, we looked at things like what's happening with non-interest income. Again, obviously a lot of the service capabilities that are provided come through that as well as just CUSO investments in general.
Mm-hmm.
But also what's happening with growth. What's happening with member relationships? What's happening with earnings? What's happening with efficiency? So we looked at a number of metrics, but those were the kind of buckets we were trying to look at.
Okay. And so what did you come away with in this white paper? Guy, I mean, obviously there are a ton of takeaways in this white paper, but what did you come away with that showed the added value of CUSOs to the industry?
They add value and every credit union should do it.
<That's simple.
laughs> So maybe drilling a little deeper into the data, quite frankly, when you look at the data, in every category but one, and there's a big asterisk there, it is clear that the CU Answers cohorts outperform the control groups. In some cases, significantly more, better, especially on growth.
Mm-hmm.
The one category where they did not is the CU Answers group had a higher operating percentage cost. So you answer, so you scratch your head and say, wait a minute, I thought QSOs were supposed to lower costs. How does that work?
Yeah.
But Callahan went a further, went deeper on that and looked at the efficiency ratio, which is, which excludes the provision for loan loss, but is basically the amount of money you have to spend to earn a dollar, right? So the efficiency, how efficient is the operation? So when you look at that, the CU Answers group outperforms the control groups.
Mm-hmm.
So the conclusion I draw from it is that while more money is spent, that money has a much bigger bang for the buck, so to speak, and credit unions are able to benefit from that as extra expenditures.
Yeah. And Jay, you're nodding your head in agreement as well. You have anything to add here as well on this one from your conclusions? Or?
Well, I think, I think I really summarized it there, but we've seen that, you know, we've looked at some of this historically before, and we do typically see that the expense ratios are higher in the credit unions that invest in QSOs, but that return on that investment comes through. You know, we kind of refer to it as it's not just about efficiency, it's about effectiveness. And are you converting those investments mm-hmm. to be more effective in terms of the impact it's having on ultimately your member relationships? That's what's driving that revenue higher.
Right.
And that to me was what stood out to me was really the member relationship side, and it mm-hmm. tied to what Guy just referred to. But the member relationships, both we looked at accounts per member, and particularly for me, the telling number was in checking account penetration. We know that's the typical metric we look at as a proxy for primary financial institution relationship. The CU Answers groups, even at what are the asset ranges are really below the average credit union size these days, yet the checking account penetration in those peer groups is above the national average, 60%+ for both of those peer groups. Wow. A significant gap between the control groups that were in the low 50s, so which are below the industry mm-hmm. average. So, you know, I think that member relationship, as we know for credit unions, that's what ultimately is going to drive the success of the credit union over the long term, and the numbers indicate that's there. They're engaged.
Yeah, and as you guys are talking, I keep thinking about Linda Bodie at Element Federal Credit Union, and I've had a number of conversations with her over the years, and she is a huge proponent of QSO. I mean, she really leverages QSOs to the full, and they're a smaller credit union, and I think she likes it that way. So, but at the same time, I mean, obviously she wants to grow and stuff, but she really leverages these QSOs to help her credit union be not only efficient, but like you guys are alluding to, effective. My gosh, you know, the services that they're providing. So, I mean, I keep thinking of her example, but obviously there are larger credit unions that find QSOs super effective as well, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah.
Absolutely. As we're here in our isolation, our social distancing, you know, it sort of accelerates, I think, the concept of how do we use technology in the credit unions to not only reach members better, but frankly, compete against the fintechs of the world.
Yeah, and you're right.
I do think that this intervention in our lives here has taught us that it is becoming more important than ever to get the capital, to get the ability to transform credit unions into being better competitors with the technology provider financial services that are out there,
mm-hmm.
and to frankly meet the member needs. So I'm leading up to the conclusion that this COVID-19 has emphasized the need to accelerate, if you will, the transformation of credit unions and their delivery systems, which they can't afford to do themselves, most credit unions.
Right.
They can only afford to do it as a group collectively and collaboratively. So whatever measurements we see in this particular study, I think in 5 years, the differences between those cranes who use CUSOs and those who don't will be even more stark and revealing.
Yeah. And aren't CUSOs, as you're talking there, guys, like, aren't CUSOs kind of an extension of the credit union collaboration as well?
Well, I'm glad you say that, because one of the things that CU Answers wanted me to emphasize, and I do want to say this, is that CUSOs don't make credit unions better. Credit unions use CUSOs to make themselves better.
Yeah, yeah.
So this is all about credit unions working collaboratively together mm-hmm. to make it happen, not somebody imposing it from the outside.
Gotcha. And so how do owner credit unions get value from a CUSO? Because in the white paper, you guys list several ways. Jay, do you want to point out a couple of the values here for member owners or credit union owners?
Yeah, well, I think there's different ways you can look at it.
Okay.
There are the financial aspects sure. that you get, and Guy called out a couple just to see who answers, whether it's an ownership dividend, patronage dividend. You often see the PSCU's co-ops, CU Directs of the world that announce each year the significant patronage dividends they provide. Guy mentioned in CU Answers' case, they issue above market debentures to provide additional return. But I think for most credit unions, it's not always just about that investment and what's the return mm-hmm. on a financial standpoint. You know, I think the idea of CUSOs and the idea of collaboration is you have a voice in directing how products and services evolve that can help your members and your credit union. And, you know, the CUSOs, I think, have been leaders in developing user groups that really influence the direction. And we often hear credit unions challenged by what maybe a development path that a provider they're using has that may not necessarily align with where the credit union would like to go. Yeah. I think you have much more of an opportunity in the CUSO environment, and most of them are kind of locally or regionally based, and you have much more of an opportunity to kind of shape how the products and service set evolves. Mm-hmm. And me is the real value that most credit unions, why they engage with the CUSO, is to have that voice.
Yeah, and I think the next CUSO's next big idea competition each year, and I'm so bummed we're missing it this year again. So, but I just really like that comment. But it's always, I see that competition as, what was it, Wayne Gretzky's quote is like, don't skate where the puck is, skate where it will be, I guess, paraphrasing obviously. And I see that contest, the next big idea contest, kind of the same way, because a lot of these ideas aren't going to happen like right now, but they're going to be happening a year or two down the road. And it's where credit unions need to be, and they'll intersect at that and at those junctures. So it's a really interesting thing that I think that's where CUSOs are so, I mean, in my opinion, that's where they're really, really effective. Obviously there's foundational technologies and processes and procedures that they work, but those the other ones that are especially in that competition that are really actually kind of pushing the industry forward. And it's really exciting to see. I mean, what's your take on that, Guy? Because you're the one who kind of moderates that competition as well. Right.
Right. Right. I'm the Bob Barker of the, of the big idea. Well, hopefully, we're going to do an online big idea competition
cool.
later on. So we're going to try to learn from the co-op experience, we're going to see what we can do, because you know those ideas can't wait. We've got to push them along.
Agreed.
The CUSO, you know, there's a lot of the CUSOs I used to represent, Zogo, back in the day. Wayne, the fellow who was running it, said it was a way, CUSOs were a way to get the credit union mojo back. so we're trying to keep the mojo going. And whether we have a meeting this year or we have to do it next year, we intend in the CUSO to keep promoting CUSOs and what credit unions can do with them, and try to tell the story so others can learn from it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And by the way, the actual white paper
There it is.
Very lovely done. Yeah. With kudos to CU Answers for doing the graphics.
Yeah.
And Sam Taff at Callahan. So it's going to be published, I know, on CU Answers website and the CUSA's website, and I presume Callahan's website as well. So cool. It should be out there very shortly.
Right on. And we'll put it in the show notes as well. Absolutely. So people can get to it as well. So the more the merrier, I say. So what did you guys come away? I mean, what goals did you want to achieve with this white paper? Jay, I'll let you go first on this one. Obviously, you want to kind of enhance the exposure of CUSOs and their benefits to creating stuff. Were there any other goals as well that you guys had in mind with this paper?
Well, it's interesting. You know, I think we started this process at a very, very different time. We wanted to just, you know, get the word out, not only about CUSOs, but again, try and show the value of participating in a CUSO. But I think, you know, Guy referenced it a little bit earlier. The environment we're in is going to cause people, credit union leaders, to think a lot more, maybe differently about their operational model, how they interact and work with members. So I think it's particularly timely right now because we're going through such a shock, obviously, to the world, really, but the way things have changed and the way some of the behaviors of the way members might interact with us will change, I think points to even more of a need for giving visibility to CUSOs, because I think they do provide a different way of approaching both your members or your operational model. You know, not a lot of credit unions will look very differently at their expense base, because we know there's going to be a revenue impact to this environment, and we need to stay focused on how do we best serve our members, and some of that involves just adjusting your operational model. So I think the outcome of this, the message is still the same. As Guy said at the beginning, CUSOs are worthwhile and valuable, and every credit union needs to look into it. Yeah. I think this time in particular becomes more important.
Indeed. Yeah. I'm excited to see actually what comes out of this, the ideas that are probably percolating in a lot of people's heads right now of how we can really, I don't want to say take advantage of it, but just the opportunities out there, I think, are going to be pretty tremendous in the next 6 months to a year, 2 years down the road. So really good stuff here. Guy, what other goals did you have in mind when you guys were producing this white paper?
Well, there are a lot of stakeholders in the credit union industry, and one of them are the regulators. What I was hoping to do with this is to demonstrate, now look, NCOA and all the state regulators understand that CUSOs are good for credit unions. I mean, they may have issues with a couple of them sometimes on some risks that might be associated with the services, but by and large, they like CUSOs. Well, I'm hoping by quantifying the benefit, because every regulator has got 800 on their math boards. I know, not so me, but they understand numbers very well. And I'm hoping that we can demonstrate the value of the collaboration so that the regulators will even be more supportive and maybe even encouraging credit unions to look into this. Because if we are going to have an industry of sufficient number of credit unions in order to have separate regulators, we got to preserve them somehow, and collaboration is a way to do that.
Yep, agreed. All right, guys, anything else to add to wrap up here? Did we miss anything? Guy, got everything?
As I said, I can't wait for my first haircut. I was telling Mike I look like Boris Johnson in the morning.
You look way better than Boris, Guy. Way better.
Well, yeah.
He looks like he has his fingers stuck in a wall socket permanently. But anyway, that's a whole other story.
It does. Anyway. I mean, he's the Don King of England. You know.
There you go. Perfect. Jay, anything else to add here? Any final words of wisdom?
No, I think again, Mike, appreciate it, and we'll look for as Guy mentioned, all the channels, and appreciate you putting it out there too. It's a quick read. But I think hopefully intriguing, and as Guy mentioned, CUSO has a lot of resources as well. We're going to try and do some things on online with the NACUSO conference that I think will help amplify some of the value that comes out of that conference in person, just in a virtual environment. Yeah. And so be on the lookout for more from NACUSO as well.
Very cool. We'll be looking for that for sure. And guys, I mean, I appreciate you guys really doing this paper as well, because I think it's well overdue, and it really speaks volumes of how valuable QSOs are to the industry. And so I think everybody should check it out for sure. And actually, I mean, really look into it, because I think they're so effective. So really good stuff, guys. All right, guys, I'll let you get back to work. Appreciate the time as always. Keep up the good work, and above all, stay safe and stay healthy. All right.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you, Mike. You too.
Oh, welcome. I will. Bye-bye.